If you look at the program here, I have it ready in a moment. Jeannie Tsakis will go over a few of the program items with you. Since 1995, the Adult Bible Study Group has hosted the annual Lenten lecture. And they have added a great deal of wealth to our spiritual knowledge. And for this, we are deeply indebted to them. A great deal of work goes into preparing for this day. Prayer, thought, reflection, search, and for those people who helped bring us this day, I offer a word of thanksgiving to God and a blessing for them. To begin with the introduction of the program today, I call upon Jean Tsakis, who has been an inspiring person in the life of our faith community. Jean?
Good morning and welcome today. With joy, I welcome all of you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Before we go over the format of what is happening, I would like to just express how wonderful it is to see so many who have responded to the invitation to join us for a day of spiritual enlightenment. And I know that some of you have come at least a couple hours away to be with us. I know we have some from Falls Church, Virginia, and from Broomall, Pennsylvania. And of course, our sister parishes, it's always wonderful to share this day with all of you. St. Paul commissions us to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. Each year, our group prayerfully selects speakers and topics to stimulate our thinking and to cause us to think deep within. And as we attentively listen, let us be reminded to ask the Holy Spirit to enlighten us. We need to actively be participants as hearers of the word by asking ourselves some of these questions. What is the retreat speaker's main message? What does this mean to me? And how can I apply this to my life to make a change, to grow in my spiritual walk, and then to be able to be doers of the word and to pass on our knowledge to our family and our friends. With the year 2000 approaching and with all the publicity of TV evangelists, the media, the newspaper, magazine covers, the talk about Y2K, we felt it important to give you a true Orthodox teaching of what tradition, the Holy Church Fathers, and along with Scripture say about this topic. And our retreat speaker has put together the booklets that have been placed on your chair for you to review along with him as he speaks. I also, as always, would love to express our deep thanks to Father Monius and also to Father Dean for all of their blessings and support that they give to us each year. The format this morning is that at about 11:45, we should have an opportunity to ask questions. And there is a microphone set up in the center aisle. And please feel free to walk up there, because that also is important that we learn through your questions. And it's another way of learning together. So please do not be shy. At 12:30, we will have lunch. The tables are set upstairs and some of them are down here. You can take the elevator. And at 1:30, we will have an opportunity for singing hymns. But at 1:45, the library will also be available to you downstairs. It will be 1:45 through 2:00, Mr. Chen. So please take advantage of the opportunity to visit as well. Of course, there are books and tapes beside here at the table that the retreat speaker, Dean, has brought with him. Some tapes are in Greek for those of you who prefer listening to the Greek language. Father, this time, would you please inform us?
I'd like Peter Costandino to come up, please. Would you please stand? Tomorrow, we commemorate the veneration of the Holy Cross of Christ. It's a very important day in our church, in our tradition. When we stand at the liturgy tomorrow as the cross processes through our faithful, we are to be reminded of the great sacrifice that was made by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The shedding of his blood cleansed all of us. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Let us then remember tomorrow as we sing this hymn today.
So son Kyrie eton laon so kevlogison tin kliron omian su nikastis vasilepsi κατά βαρβάρων δωρουμένος και τόσον Πιλάτων δια του σταυρού σου πολίτευμα. Say the Lord your people and give victory to your leader against the adversaries of the faith and protect your people by your cross, your holy cross.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, now and ever and unto ages of ages. Amen. Have mercy on us, O God, according to thy great goodness. We pray, listen, and have mercy. Again we pray for peace, life, health, salvation, and protection of our speaker, your servant Constantine, of those who have gathered together for this instructional moment in our spiritual life, for the peace of the world, for the stability of God's holy churches, for the union and all of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all our hierarchs, our priests, our monks, our nuns, our faithful in Christ, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For you are a good and loving God, and to you we ascribe glory, to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, now and ever and unto ages of ages.
Amen.
Please be seated. As Jean mentioned earlier, one of the blessings of coming together in this fellowship is that as an Orthodox community, we meet not only to learn from the speaker, but also to learn from one another. We have a very strong Orthodox community in this area. The priests have made every attempt to bring their faithful together on Sunday of Orthodoxy, and in December as we celebrate the sacrament of Holy Unction. But these retreats as well bring our community together. I would hope that whenever there is some free time, if you see a face that is not familiar to you, please go to that person and introduce yourself. Don't stay just with your friends, but try to make new friends today in our community. Throughout the world, there are almost 300 million people who call themselves Orthodox Christians. That number is second only to the Roman Catholic Church, and far greater than all the Protestant churches. Almost 300 million people who have kept their faith alive. They have kept their faith alive through persecutions of the emperors of Rome, through the persecution of the Persians, and the destructive means of walking through a land and laying it bare. We have survived the onslaught of the Crusaders. We have survived the onslaught of the Ottoman Empire. We have withstood the persecution of Stalin. We have survived communism both in Russia and in Greece. We have survived world wars. The Church has triumphed through all of that. Unfortunately, in periods of peace and prosperity, we are not at our best. We accept those kinds of blessings that God gives us, perhaps too readily and without deep appreciation to Him. But that wonderful gift that we have been given, the gift of salvation, which begins with the day of our baptism in the font of our Holy Orthodox Church, is the criteria by which we must live our lives. It is important for us to lead a godly life. It is important for us to lead a sacramental life. It is important for us to lead a scriptural life. And it is important for us to live a life based on the tradition of our Holy Orthodox Church. We have as our speaker today Dean Zalalis, who was born on the island of Kos, the Dodecanesa, in Greece. Those islands, for many years, have been a very important part of the historical development of the Church and have produced some wonderful Church leaders. He came to America as a teenager, graduating from high school and college. He lives in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, where he is a member of the church there and teaches Bible study groups. But what really happened that's important for him and important for us today is what happened in 1986 in his life. You and I know that there are times in our lives where God's hand comes down and touches you in a very special way. And when that happens, and you have the ears to hear, and the eyes to see, and the mouth to speak, you need to take advantage of that encounter with God and allow it to grow not only for yourself, but also for all people of faith. He was challenged by Pentecostal Christians, as we are in Baltimore. We are encountered here. We are challenged here as well. But he was challenged. And because he was challenged, and because he believed in his Holy Orthodox Church, he wanted to learn as much as he could about two great sources of inspiration in our church, Holy Scripture and Holy Tradition. Last month at the Tsakalos home, we had a small group of the Bible study meeting with Dean. I was very impressed with this man's piety, with his understanding of these two sources of tradition, and that it was refreshing to see this come from a lay person in our church. And I concurred with the decision of the committee. The dean was a man we needed to bring to Baltimore and we need to hear, to inspire us, to encourage us, and to strengthen us. There is something that we call spiritual warfare. We need, throughout the whole course of our life, to combat in this struggle of the spirit and the earth around it. We need to be enlightened Christians. We need to be people of faith. We need to be scriptural. We need to be biblical. We need to be sacramental. And Dean can help us today. And with all the love that I have in my heart, and with all the blessings that we can give him, we welcome Konstantin Dean Zelalis to this microphone.
Thank you, Father Konstantin. Holy Fathers, brothers and sisters in Christ, it is not by accident that every time the disciples approach the Lord to ask him about the end of times, the first statement that came out of his mouth was, "Be aware that no one deceives you. Let no one deceive you." As a matter of fact, that was the beginning of the admonition of St. Paul to 2 Corinthians. Let no one deceive you, because in the last days there'll be a number of false prophets. That's one of the signs of the last days. Let no one deceive you, either by spirit, by word, or letter. By spirit means prophecy. By word is the unwritten word that circulated in the church, and also the letters of the epistles that we have in our Bibles today. And that'll be the theme of our topic today, to avoid deception, because this deception will be extremely prevalent as we approach the last days, at all times, but especially in the last days as well. St. Paul spent some time with the Thessalonians several thousand years ago, and after he left, a number of rumors began to spread around the church. Some false prophets, false rumors begin to circulate, and the Thessalonians were thinking that Christ is coming now, he's already here. There's different types of rumors going around that the Antichrist is born, the Christ is around the corner, so they stopped going to work. They would not go by their everyday business. And they travel around the countryside, gossiping and waiting for the Lord. And they were shaken. So St. Paul heard about this, and he writes to them, and thanks to the Thessalonians now we have the best information. And we should say, you know, the devil sometimes, he thinks that he's going to fool the church. He does something so stupid. Because he got those false prophets to go around to do these things, now we have some of the best information about the end of times and about the Antichrist. It was because of that demonic effort, actually, that we have some of this best information in 2 Thessalonians. And St. Paul writes to the 2 Thessalonians and tells them, do not be shaken, do not be deceived. The Lord did not come yet. He's not around. Go back to your work. And then, after he gave us the second chapter of the Thessalonians epistle, he gave them and us a recipe to avoid deception, a recipe that we need to keep and understand and hold for the rest of our lives, because this is extremely important. It has been the recipe that the Orthodox Church has kept over the years. Therefore, brothers, stand fast and hold on to the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or letter. And I need to take a few minutes because this is crucial. The Greek word is paradosis, and paradosis is the unwritten teaching. As a young man in junior high school, when the teacher would be teaching us, the word paradosis was used, even to this day. So when the scripture says, therefore, brothers, stand fast and hold on to the paradosis, to the traditions, which you were taught, whether by word, word means the spoken word, orally, verbally, or letter. That means the epistles that were circulating around the church at the time. So when we say tradition of paradosy, we actually mean the entire teaching of the church. And paradosy actually includes Holy Scripture. Paradosy includes Holy Scripture, which is the written tradition of the church, but also we have the unwritten or verbal teachings of Christ and the apostles. We must understand this, that we need to read the scriptures very carefully. If you read in one of the scriptures, St. Paul writes about an epistle to Laodicea. Have you seen an epistle to Laodicea? I haven't. I asked Father Athanasius when I visited him and when I talked to him over the phone, I said, what happened to this epistle of Laodicea? It was lost. Many things have lost. Christ has spoke and done so many things, St. John says, that even all the libraries of the world would not be able to hold all the knowledge. St. Paul did not only write 14 epistles in all his years, that's all he taught. Holy Scripture, even though it is the inerrant Word of God, it only represents but a fraction of the teachings of the apostles and Christ. And I know that might be new to some of you, but I can tell you something, that it was in the book of the Revelation that we have the name Sunday, the Lord's Day. Before that, 95 AD, in all the Gospels, it was called Imiaton Sabbaton, the one after the Sabbath. So this word, Sunday or Kyriaki, was circulating in the oral tradition of the church. It was circulating verbally in the church, and now St. John grabs it and puts it in the book of the Revelation. The same thing with St. Paul. Christ said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Up to this point, it's a verbal tradition of the church. It's a verbal tradition. It's circulating around verbally. But we cannot restrict the Holy Spirit only in Scripture. The Holy Spirit of God is free. It's not bound to just Scripture. So St. Paul takes this teaching of the Lord that was circulating verbally and records it in one of his epistles. Also, we must understand that in the first 5 centuries, the church canonized the 27 books of the New Testament. But there were the only 27 books circulating around. There were hundreds of false books, pseudepigrapha, false prophets. They were writing books and circulating them around. This might be new to you, but we did not have only one book of Revelation going around. There's quite a few books of, that's why the church did not dogmatize right away. The church waited. We find that the revelation of St. Peter, a false revelation. There was the revelation of St. John the theologian, a false revelation. The revelation of St. Thomas, the revelation of Paul, Gospel of Thomas, Gospel of Peter, Ascension of Moses. These were all books that the church had to contend with. Now, my question is, if we can trust the Orthodox Church to select these 27 books that we all Christians accept as canonical, then can we not trust the church to have the knowledge of the interpretation of those books? And if the church did not have that pure interpretation of those books, could the church select the 27 books properly? the correct interpretation of the Holy Scripture, especially prophecy, is a privilege of the Orthodox Church as the foundation and pillar of the truth. The Church Fathers died for this truth. They suffered greatly to preserve this truth for us. They had religious wars for an iota. Homoousios means same substance, identical substance, of Christ being homoousios, same substance with the Father. The Latins wanted to add homoousios, meaning of like substance, and the Church fought tooth and nail on this. They fought wars on this, because we protect the faith like our eyes. Even the smallest speck of dust that goes into our eyes, we have trouble, we cannot see. The faith must remain immaculate, even though not a single church father, not a single bishop, not a single teacher is infallible. Not a single person under the sun is infallible except our Lord Jesus Christ, because he's God. The Church, because the Church has the Holy Spirit, is infallible. The conscience of the Church is infallible. So we will find out that some of the early teachers have made mistakes. Some early teachers, like Augustine, St. Gregory of Nyssa, Irenaeus, they have made mistakes. The Church said, no, we revere you, you're saints, but in that area, you're mistaken. The conscience of the Church is this, and that's where the ecumenical councils came in. Father Athanasius Mytilineos is one of these men of faith that for the last 40 years has studied day in and day out the Church Fathers, the Holy Scriptures, and he has done over 5,000 hours of interpretation of the Church Fathers and the Holy Scripture. I have several thousand in my library, and from that I do a little bit of work, because it is very, very difficult to even try to copy what this Christian has done in our days. He has interpreted the book of the Revelation about 20 years ago in 100 cassette studies. We're in the process of translating, and so far we have done 15, and I have 10 available here. In the next 3-4 years, God willing, we will have the entire series available for our English-speaking brothers and sisters in Christ. He dedicated his whole life to bring the truth and also offer the truth of the Fathers to us, and for that we need to be thankful. So we all know it. Everybody's talking about it. Christ is coming back. He's coming back soon. But according to the Church Fathers, he's coming back to do what? Is he coming back to rapture the Church before the infamous Antichrist? Or is he coming back to stand on the Mount of Olives and deliver the state of Israel? Or is he coming back to rebuild the Temple of Solomon? Is he coming back to defeat the Antichrist and the 10 European nations in the Battle of Armageddon? Or is he coming back to bind the devil for 1,000 years? Or to give the Jehovah's Witnesses and the other millennialists their 1,000-year kingdom on earth? None of the above, according to the Church Fathers and the traditions and the paradoxes of the Orthodox Church. The Church